Seaweed in the Washing Machine. Written by Nonimos. Read by Opalsong. Fandom, Full Metal Alchemist, Brotherhood and Manga. Rating, explicit. Warning for rape, non-con. Also tagged for vampires, dubious consent. 10 years post-canon. Ed still has his clap-a-me. I do have an explanation for that, but this fic ain't it. Trans male character. 20 exotic juice boxes. A beautiful Cretan rug. And diplomacy is hard when you have rabies. Mustang entered the small, dark room and closed the door behind him, his gestures entirely too unhurried for Ed's liking. He was the one who had been sitting on an upturned bucket for fuck knew how long in this fucking Arugan broom closet. All because of a fucking vamp scare. Of course Mustang had to keep a cool and disdainful front, but still, out of sight of the Arugan military, some celerity would have been much appreciated. So? Mustang took off his left glove, finger by finger, so he wouldn't have to turn it inside out, which he hated to do, because it ruins the seams, Full Metal. So we wait. Ed groaned and threw his head back. He was starting to ache. The cell might not really be a cell, tossing him into an actual one on the day the Arugan-Amstrian alliance was to be ratified would have had unpleasant diplomatic repercussions. So the Arugans had compromised. But the handcuffs were very much real, and his right shoulder still remembered that there was a time during which it had ceased to exist. "Be patient," Mustang said mildly, starting to work on his right glove. "This is me being patient," Ed snapped. "How much longer do we have to wait? I told you it had no time to inject anything." In his neck, the two puncture marks had long since stopped bleeding. "What about the other guys who got bit?" "No symptoms either, but Commander Marcus doesn't want to take any chances. Everyone's quarantined for at least another hour." There had been a great deal of confusion and shouts until Ed had trapped the thing in a triangle of stone spikes and Mustang had incinerated it with a massive gust of flame. Ed had never seen one in the wild before. As far as he could tell, it mostly looked like a giant bat. Those things sucked animal blood, humans included, and if they injected you with their special numbing agent first, as if that would be enough for you not to notice some huge furry cockroach had flown right into your face, then you got the blood cravings too. So bad it would drive the subject to madness, according to some testimonies. All things Ed knew, because there had been an old book in Hohenheim's study talking about them, among other medical curiosities. An old book from 1725! Trust Arugo to be so fucking backwards that they still had vampires around. "At least Arugo owes us big time now," Ed said sourly. "And we both found an excuse to show off. Brita will be overjoyed." "Maybe." Mustang was now opening his uniform jacket, button after button, untucking it from his pants before shouldering it off. Maybe not. Which was a weird thing to say. Ed watched him hang the jacket on a mop, at which point a question occurred to him. The gloves were one thing, but what the hell are you doing? Mustang unbuckled his cavalry shirt and put it away, too. In his white shirt and army pants, he looked strangely underdressed, almost exposed. Don't worry, I'll stop here. If you're under the impression you've just answered my question, I can't afford to risk bloodstains, Mustang explained, and rolled up his shirt sleeve to uncover two puncture marks. Ed stared. Mustang rolled up his other sleeve, fastidiously, for no obvious purpose other than the comfort of symmetry. Then he looked critically at Ed. You might have to lose some clothing under the belt. Ed scooted back on his fucking upturned bucket, which screeched horribly before hitting the wall. Mustang had the grace to look, not even embarrassed, actually, more like put upon. Don't be difficult. I won't be doing this for fun. Doing what? Ed said, only really to stall for time. Mustang was sweating, which hadn't been noticeable before, just a faint sheen on his whole body, the lines of his neck gleaming over his collar. It's not quite as bad as they said, Mustang answered, the craving, but it's still quite bad. A tremor in his hands, too. Had his eyes darkened? Impossible to tell. They were already so deeply black. I wouldn't be able to hide it from the Arugan dignitaries forever. Luckily, we still have a bit of time in here.
I cannot fucking believe it got you, Ed said. Actually got you all the way, and you didn't even say anything, you fucking bastard. Just me that got locked up in the fucking broom closet.
We've come here on a mission. I'm not risking it.
He bent forward and brusquely started to undo Ed's belt.
I'll try not to be messy.
Why the femoral? Out of all the questions he could have made, this one wasn't the best. Then again, the best one would have been a kick to the teeth. At least uncuff me.
No.
Ed blinked. Mustang tugged Ed's pants open, then grabbed him at the collar to force him to get up.
I don't see the need.
You don't see the... A rustle of fabric. The next moment he was pushed back down on the bucket, his pants around his ankles. Only then did he realize he was breathless. Everything had been happening too fast to feel real. Colonel, hey, bastard, Mustang!
What?
Mustang said vaguely, looking around until he found a rag to lay at Ed's feet. Mustang! Ed repeated louder. His heart was pounding in his ribs, and he was getting hot, slick and hot, unavoidably. Great! That was exactly what they both needed right now. He tried not to shift on the bucket. You're not thinking straight.
Yes, I'm endeavoring to fix that.
Mustang braced on his knees to kneel down on the rag.
This isn't the worst thing I've done to you by any means. Lie back and think of Amstrus, I suppose.
From up close, his eyes were glassy, and he was sweating more noticeably now. His thumbs dug into Ed's thighs as if trying to find the femoral artery, to pop it open. His grip had strength in it, but Ed felt his hands tremble. His own situation was getting worse. The army-issued green boxers weren't dark enough. There'd be a line of wetness now, enough for Mustang to notice. But Mustang wasn't all there, focusing on different fluids entirely. Ed almost admired him for sounding so entirely like his most unbearable self while completely out of his mind.
Maybe the persona took over by reflex as he lost his grip on sanity.
If you do happen to bleed through your pants afterwards,
Mustang said conversationally,
you can tell them it's your time of the month. They're conservative enough not to ask any more questions.
Ed kicked him in the ribs. Or he tried. Mustang evaded the blow, then grabbed Ed by the hair at the root and forced him to bend forwards, sharp enough to make him cry out.
Don't.
Then, quieter,
see, this is why you need the handcuffs.
Another rush of hot slickness. And this time Mustang noticed. dark eyes flicking down. Mustang, Ed said, reflexively tearing up from the hold on his hair, almost begging now, though he wasn't sure what he was begging for. Mustang let go of him, then pushed his fingers under his boxers, along his right thigh, stretching the cloth slightly away from him.
Will that keep you in line? I'm not particular.
Fuck, Ed breathed. Then he didn't say anything else, because Mustang's fingers had kept going, and were now working their way inwards. He strained against the handcuffs uselessly, when Mustang rubbed up and found the spot and circled around, Ed arched back, shoulder blades pressing into the whitewashed wall, staring wide-eyed at the ceiling.
Now,
Mustang said, as his hand kept working, almost mindlessly.
Be good.
Then he bent forward and bit Ed right in the thigh. It hurt like hell. But then it turned less sharp, throbbing low as Mustang started sucking. And it only made the pleasure more intense until it overwhelmed everything, even and especially the pain, feeding off the pain, until Ed arched again and cursed and shook and came on Mustang's fingers. He breathed heavily, willed himself to stop rolling his hips, and kept shaking for several minutes while Mustang drank from his thigh quietly. Then Mustang suddenly pulled back, his eyebrows knotted together as if he was trying to remember what the hell he'd been thinking about. He must have been still lucid at first, realizing he would need blood, thinking he could discreetly get it from Ed, and then simply spiraling into that course of action without stopping to think anymore. Until now. He stared at his left hand braced on Ed's bleeding thigh.
Full Metal,
he began, in the distractedly confused tone of a man about to ask his way or ask for the time. Then he looked at his right hand, still buried in Ed's boxers, and went distinctly paler. He moved back, got back up, stepped further back until he hit the opposite wall of the broom closet. He touched his own mouth, then pressed the back of his hand against it hard. There was an odd look in his eyes, horror mixing with something like anger or incredulity.
I did try to kick you, Ed said hoarsely.
His own hair was sticking to his temples with sweat. His scalp hurt. His thigh was throbbing. Tremors from his orgasm were still coursing through him.
If that's going to be a reoccurring problem for you, we'll have to figure something out because I am not doing that again.
Of course, that was when Commander Marcus knocked on the door.
General Mustang, is everything all right?
Yes, fine,
he answered automatically. Everything had felt fine, up until he reviewed his course of action and found it suddenly lacking in crucial places. Edward had closed his eyes, his head hanging forward as if to gather himself, or maybe in relief upon seeing that Roy was back to normal. Assuming he was, it was frankly disturbing to realize he couldn't tell.
We'll need a key to the handcuffs.
Brought it to you,
Marcus said gruffly. Of course he wasn't happy. The Amstrians had saved the day and gotten one of their own injured in the process. Arugo wouldn't have much of an upper hand after that.
I'm coming in.
Roy hastily wiped his mouth one last time as the door opened and plucked the key from Marcus's hand.
Thank you, he said coldly. Just a moment.
And he closed the door in his face before the commander could see anything inside of the room. That was objectively the wrong move. Usually he would have been so charmingly polite as to become smarmy, the better to express that killing their monsters for them was no trouble at all. They were enchanted to do it. And Lieutenant Colonel Elric didn't mind his little stint in the broom closet in the slightest. Expressing anger at events objectively outside of the Irugan's hands was stupid, useless, and dangerous. But he had to make sure Marcus couldn't see into the room. And he needed the damn key because he was not putting Edward's pants back on himself. Coming close to him again and doing up his belt
No, not when his right hand was still drying from having been inside of him. Inside of him. For a moment, he wanted to call Hawkeye and tell her he was coming back from Arugo this instant in urgent need of a bullet to the head.
Here, he said instead, in a low voice, walking behind Edward to uncuff him.
I'm still bleeding, Edward informed him flatly. Maybe I should tell them it's my time of the month.
Roy, struggling with the cuffs, wondered if maybe he could get Hawkeye's verbal agreement on the phone and shoot himself.
Full Metal, he began, even quieter. Oh, save it.
As soon as his wrists were free, Edward brought his hands together and clapped, pressing them onto his thigh. When he pulled back, the blood had clotted. He got up and quickly pulled his pants back up.
So we're playing it angry?
Mildly irritated,
Roy managed. He couldn't help noticing that the closet smelled deeply and unavoidably of sex.
We are here to close a deal.
Edward looked straight at him. His yellow stare was unreadable.
How are you feeling? You still look...
He waved a hand and then said, feverish. Roy had expected a harsher word. He didn't feel feverish. Only a bit wild, when you can't quite tell if you're drunk. He couldn't quite tell if his train of thought was sound. Perhaps he would walk out of here and torch Marcus and feel that it was a perfectly sensible course of action. It was like a dream, when everything makes sense until you wake up. He knew he hadn't quite woken up, which scared him on a coldly visceral level.
I suppose I can function for now.
It's not going to go away on its own, Edward said. You need a bunch of shots and 2 weeks on a drip. We have to go home.
The deal, Roy answered.
Maybe if he managed to focus on a different obsession, a different craving, one he'd carried for much longer.
The deal comes first. This is the last day. It'll go easy. They're feeling guilty. We've saved their men. You got hurt.
By me, he thought, with slight hysteria.
Edward's hair was still plastered to his temples. Roy was quite sure he'd come. He'd felt the clench around his fingers. The deep, squeezing, hot, liquid pulses.
It'll go easy, he repeated.
Then, because he might as well,
fix your hair.
Edward scowled at him, which was more than deserved. He undid his braid, ran his fingers through his hair, did his braid again, managed to look like nothing much had happened. Then he opened the door to go out and meet Marcus.
Colonel Elric, the commander said. Apologies are in order.
Listen, no one got hurt in the end. You had to make sure, I understand, so no harm done.
Edward offered him his hand. How are your men? He was a good operative. He was excellent at staying functional and efficient when everything had gone off the rails. Which, Roy distantly acknowledged, it certainly had. The day stretched on and on. It felt like it would never end. The ceremony of alliance was only a series of interminable speeches in thick, incomprehensible Arugan. Roy was sitting upright in his chair, in a pose of what he hoped looked like cool and collected attention. One leg crossed over the other, two fingers resting lightly on his jaw. The problem was that he needed more blood soon, and he still couldn't be noticed. He wondered if his own would do the trick, or at least disrupt the craving which was slowly mounting again, overwhelming like thirst on a hot day, or sex when you can't masturbate. He tried not to think of sex, of Edward and the wide-eyed look on his face, the awful flash of alarm when he realized he was trapped with someone he thought he could trust. Even 10 years ago, upon the discovery of Maria Ross's fake corpse, Edward's expression hadn't been that dreadful. There had been some anger to drown out the betrayal. Roy didn't want to think about the crack of his fist against his jaw. He needed him quiet. He needed him out of the way. He would hit him to get what he wanted. He would also, apparently, rape him. And now he wanted something again. Not sex. He had to stop thinking about sex. or about punching Edward in the face, the deep, treacherous stab of satisfaction in his gut. He felt a different hunger now, already horribly familiar, more powerful with every second. He only had to sit here. But he couldn't stand it for much longer. His own blood, yes, maybe. Perhaps if he managed to cover his mouth meditatively and bite his own wrist, no one was looking at him. Here, Edward said in a bored voice, passing him a juice box. He had brought an entire carton of the things, along with bottles of Jingyi's green tea, mysterious chocolate bars in a dozen different flavors, and three different kinds of trail mix. When Roy, befuddled as they opened their luggage, had asked about clothing, Edward had snorted and answered, "I can make clothing." "That's not going to cut it, Full Metal," he said quietly, and pushed back his sleeve so he could bite himself. He already knew it wouldn't really work. Perhaps he could bite Edward's wrist without being too obvious. "Fucking here!" Edward stabbed the straw into the carton. "Drink!" It was hardly diplomatic to drink out of a neon orange juice box during an international ceremony, Roy thought, just before he took a sip and almost spat it all back out. He swallowed, gasped silently for breath, then said, "What is this?" "Blood and green tea." Just that first sip had cleared the haze for a moment. He drank more of the vile potion, took a moment to gather his thoughts, and felt fairly certain he should not, in fact, gouge out his own wrist in front of the commander of the Arugan armies, the regent queen of Westeria, and His Eminence the Arugan Pope. "Why green tea?" "So the blood won't coagulate. It's full of antioxidants. Hey, human biology's my area of expertise," Edward said in answer to whatever look Roy currently had on his face. "Or used to be. Fucking drink it before you rip off my cufflinks." Roy drank the whole juice box and silently accepted the second one Edward immediately handed to him. That one was purple and yellow. Mustang was weird and loopy for the rest of the day, which was to be expected. Ed was honestly impressed by how normal he managed to seem, considering. Okay, so he was staring at people's necks a lot, and there had been that time where he had turned over the Countess of Westeria's hand to comment on the loveliness of her bracelet, but before he could faceplant into her wrist, Ed had forcefully pulled him aside and shoved another juice box, lime green, into his hand. The Countess, who was giggling and blushing the way women did when they spoke to Mustang, even Winry wasn't immune. That was more concerning than vampire rabies, honestly. I hadn't noticed a thing, so no harm done in the end. Mustang sipped on his remedy with a rather frazzled look until he could manage another series of micro-social interactions for the glory of Amstress without assaulting anyone. On went the afternoon, from juice box to juice box, and then the evening, and finally, mercifully, they found themselves packing up and boarding the train that would bring them back home. Mustang was daintily allergic to anything else than first class, and Arugo had of course arranged for the Amstrian Minister of War to travel in style, which was half the reason Ed had accepted to escort him in the first place. They had an entire car to themselves, with gleaming mahogany fixtures, a marble-top coffee table screwed to the floor, and a priceless, lush Cretan rug under their feet, and soft golden lights everywhere. Mustang kept up the facade until dinner was served and they were left alone, upon which he collapsed onto the green velvet couch to put both hands over his face. Ed ate his dinner before anything else. A man had to have priorities. Plus, the food was very good. Plus, he'd basically exsanguinated himself today to make sure Mustang would have enough juice boxes to avoid an international incident. He needed to refuel. He was wiping his mouth with his napkin when Mustang took a sudden intake of breath and dropped his hands. "When did you even find the time to fill up those boxes?" "I told Marcus I needed a bathroom break after sitting in a broom closet for 3 hours. Then I dug a hole through the ceiling to reach our room to get to my stash. Ed glared at him. And while we're on the subject, I had to dump the contents of 20 juice boxes into the toilet. You fucking owe me for these. Mustang looked horrified. 20? For a moment, Ed wondered at this newfound appreciation for the rarity of Xingyi's and Cretian soft drinks. Then he realized Mustang presumably wasn't appalled by the juice loss so much as the blood loss. He snorted. Chill out. They had much more green tea than blood in them, which is probably why you needed so many of them, by the way. It had felt safer to err on the side of too much dilution, because draining a box kept Mustang's hands and mouth busy. Better than giving him more than one box, having fewer boxes as a result, and risking miscalculation with dramatic consequences. You also owe me for the green tea. Mustang sounded faint. And how? Oh, I just reopened my thigh wound. Faster this way. At least Mustang had been true to his word. It wasn't a messy bite. Ed squinted at him. Why are you making that face? We're on our way home. Everything went well in the end. Mustang stared at him for almost 10 seconds. Then he said,
Yes, I suppose so,
and got up to leave the room. Ed pulled Mustang's plate towards him and started to eat his untouched dinner. He was done when Mustang returned. Ed frankly hadn't expected him to. He'd been having his own private session of closing his eyes for a moment on the fainting couch to process a wild fucking day, and didn't really appreciate the interruption. I thought you went to bed. Mustang sat in front of him. He was in his shirt sleeves again, and he still looked too pale. Vampirism really was a bitch. No wonder the bats had been eradicated in Amstrus.
I just wanted to say that we'll find a solution when we get back.
Yeah, like I said, some shots and 2 weeks on a...
I meant for you.
Mustang paused.
Obviously, this will depend on what you'd like. I know you have good rapport with Major Armstrong. You could also join Breida's squad in West City, or provide support in Briggs, if you'd prefer to become an independent contractor.
What are you talking about? Ed said. Mustang looked annoyed, even though he was clearly in the middle of the saddest attempt at an apology Ed had ever heard. He never liked when Ed cut him off.
Don't be difficult, Fullmetal.
Ed told himself sternly that now was not the fucking time. But fuck, Mustang too blitzed out of his mind to care that it was Ed, to worry about being nice. That insane moment in an Arugan closet was probably all Ed would ever get.
You don't have to front, Mustang went on, too quietly entirely for Ed's liking. Let me take my responsibilities.
And what would those be exactly? Again, with an annoyed look, which was better than the resignation.
Must I be explicit?
I do believe you must, Ed said, imitating Mustang's central accent for a moment. Mustang, you were blood crazy. You can't be held responsible for...
Don't ever say, Mustang snapped, that I can't be held responsible for what I've done.
Wow, yeah, okay, save that for your therapist. Also, pro tip, don't yell at people when you're trying to say sorry.
Ed sat up.
Truth be told, he'd rather not be explicit either, but clearly he had to, because Mustang wasn't going to leave it alone. Listen, you would have done anything that felt reasonable to stop the craving. And when you're blood crazy, everything feels reasonable. You think I mind some light biting?
It's not about the biting.
But it is. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It all goes together. Essentially, all of this was just seaweed in the washing machine.
Mustang stared at him. Pardon?
You know, dried seaweed. The Xingyi's kind that they put in noodle broth. One time while I was doing my laundry, I opened a seaweed packet for a snack, and it exploded in my hands, and I thought, hey, maybe some of it fell into the fucking washing machine. But my brain was on the do laundry subroutine, so it wanted to finish that before moving on to another task, and I was distracted thinking about whatever else, don't remember what. maybe sewer architecture or something, so I kept going. It's not like I had urgent reason to change course. Everything was going okay so far. So I didn't check, and then I went for a walk while the washing machine was running and forgot all about it until I came back to realize the seaweed had swollen up inside the pipes and clogged everything up, and it took me 3 days to unfuck it, even with alchemy. I had to teach myself plumbing from the ground up. Mustang simply kept staring. Ed gave up. I'm the one who got turned on, all right? That felt like a solution for you to get blood, so that's why you went for it, and that's all. I was much too slow to react, honestly. I should have kicked you sooner. I should have fucking clapped, even with the handcuffs on. What I'm saying is that really none of this is your fault, and why am I the one reassuring you? Finally, Mustang cracked a half smile. I suppose any encounter with you leaves the other party more traumatized by default. Fuck off, Ed said, to disguise his intense relief. See, you're fine. We're fine. Now stop telling me to join Armstrong's squad, you maniac. There was a pause. Then Mustang said,
why did you get turned on?
This was precisely the question Ed had hoped to avoid. Or it would have been. Except Mustang had clearly only asked to distract Ed from his left hand groping across the coffee table for his wrist. Ed wasn't one to miss the opportunity of a lifetime and slapped him right across the face, which also did wonders for his nerves. Pull yourself together, he said, with probably too much glee.
Yes, thank you,
Mustang muttered, rubbing his jaw. In other circumstances, he would have reacted differently. But he was sweating again, and the tremor in his hands was back.
I really do need...
Yeah, yeah. Ed got up and unbuckled his belt. I'm not slicing anything else open for you, so you're gonna have to get on your knees again. Sure, what a great fucking idea. Just saying this, a rush of heat pooled directly between his legs again. Fuck, maybe he should join Armstrong's squad, because once he fully got back to normal, Mustang would never let him live this down.
Like I said, Mustang mumbled, I'm not particular.
It would have been funnier, or more arousing, to watch him kneel if he hadn't looked halfway in pain, resigned to whatever hoops Ed might make him jump through if it would only take the craving away. If not for the look of sheer relief on his face when he got his mouth on Ed's thigh. Now Ed just felt like shit, which didn't help with pain management. To the point that he eventually blurted out, hang on, fuck, this really actually hurts a lot. Mustang pulled back, wiping his mouth. He seemed mostly lucid again, and too concerned.
I'll stop.
Don't be so fucking dramatic. I just need a break. If you don't get your fill, you'll wake me up 3 times a night for your fix.
Would it help if I...
Mustang began. It took a second for Ed to understand. Then he almost kicked him in the ribs again. Fuck off! I don't want you to do that because of blood craving, you fucking bastard. There must have been something in his voice. Too much disguised hurt. And he'd been doing so well until now. Whatever it was, Mustang looked at him, slightly breathless after drinking too much too fast. He'd been messier this time. A few crimson spots on his immaculate collar. His hair, slicked back as it always was for diplomatic missions, was starting to lose its neatness. His throat shining with sweat, moving with one last belated swallow. His mouth. Mustang grabbed Ed's shirt and pulled him down. The kiss was a shock of warmth, the copper taste of blood followed by a full-body thrill that got Ed pulling back almost right away. Fucking, what did I just say?
I heard you.
Mustang said in a low voice. His left hand was still on Ed's right thigh. It moved closer, his thumb following the edge of Ed's boxers. You just want blood, Ed said desperately.
Do I?
Mustang wiped blood off Ed's bare thigh, considering his crimson fingers for a moment, then slowly and deliberately wiped them on his perfect fucking white shirt while making direct eye contact. Which got Ed kissing him back, suddenly, deeply,
Fuck him. He couldn't stop himself.
Mustang let him do it with something that felt irritatingly like the patience of a more experienced man. Ed was going to kill him. But first, he was going to come again. He lifted himself off the couch to pull down his boxers, and Mustang, who was still half-kneeling, leaned forward with a certainty of purpose that honestly did half the job for him. Though he wasn't half bad at it either. Of course, he was basically cheating, seeing as Ed had been rubbing off the thoughts of him for a solid decade at this point. Fucking, he was bleeding all over the couch, all over Mustang's shoulder, rubbing against his thigh as he moved. This was going to end up looking like a crime scene. This was the luxury suite of the Arugan diplomatic train. Ed cried out sharply and gripped Mustang's slicked back hair and came in his mouth, in his face, and felt him drink like he'd drunk his blood in quiet swallows. Fuck, get up here. Get over here, he gasped as soon as he could speak again. Mustang shook his head, panting.
Not without a condom.
You're more fun when you're insane, Ed told him, and slid off the couch to kneel with him. Fine, you fucking wet blanket. Then let's just... He ungracefully pulled Mustang's slacks open and shoved a hand down his underwear. He got another thrill, almost better than his actual fucking orgasm, when he felt how ready Mustang was. He really hadn't been doing this just to say sorry. Mustang hissed when Ed took him in a solid grip, pushed his head against Ed's shoulder, and clutched at the back of his shirt, panting quietly against him for a few short minutes until he went rigid and sank his teeth into his shoulder. Ed had manners, so he waited until Mustang was fully done to ask, "Did you just fucking bite me?"
"That wasn't... I just always do that."
Mustang let go of his death grip on Ed's shirt, wiped his face.
"Not that I often... I mean that it's a sort of reflex."
Ed would have laughed at him if he hadn't been overwhelmed by the sudden and terrible need to kiss him again. Which he did. And this time Mustang kissed back unrestrainedly. And Ed vaguely wondered if Hawkeye was finally going to snap and kill them both when they got home. Even with the alchemy to get rid of most of the blood, they had to throw the beautiful Cretan rug out the train window as they passed over the Deruvian Gorge. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic and would like to leave a comment, you are more than welcome to. If you'd like to leave a comment for me, the podficker, you can do so on the podfic post, which is probably wherever you found this to begin with. If you'd like to leave a comment for the author, the place to do that is on the text post, which is linked from the podfic post. Thanks for listening!